And these guys are live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, this is on.
We need you to speak to me.
Okay, so now I got all the handouts in the back in all funky order.
Mm-hmm. Great.
My opinion. Mm-hmm. Did you need to get a packet?
Mm-hmm.
Not a story.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, we'll get there someday, I suppose.
Down the road, yeah.
I would like to call the meeting to order, please. First of all, thank you so much for your flexibility and for moving forward. This is a learning process for us, so we appreciate that you're learning along with us. Or that we're learning along with you, however you want to. The first item, on the agenda. We have everybody situated. Okay, so the first item on the agenda will be a report from the closed session that we just had. And basically, the two action items on the agenda, on the closed agenda, were tabled, and we have nothing further to inform at this time. Going on to the next item, we will request that Mr. Elvis Perez leads us with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, so, you have to be right. Just imagine it's over here on the side. Just stand over your chest and start. Pledge of Allegiance
is the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Carreras. Next, we have approval of the agenda.
I move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. May I call a vote?
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. So the agenda is approved. We move on to the next item, which will be the approval of the minutes for the January meeting. Minutes were emailed to the executive team.
Move to approve the minutes for January.
Second.
Okay. Can I have a voice vote, please?
Aye.
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 Thank you. And so the minutes for January are approved. Can I have a motion to approve
Move to approve February 2018 minutes?
Thank you.
Second.
And can I call a voice vote?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. And so the January and February minutes are approved. And now we will open it for public comments. We have only one card. Is there anyone else that wanted to be public comment? Okay, so we recognize then Ms. Kelly Tyler and Alicia Mogel.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you make some of the questions for
So while I'm here, I see Dean Mullen is here. You want to introduce Allison real quick?
No, really.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
Hi. So I want to introduce Dr. Allison Tomor, who is putting in her presentation today on behalf of the Community College District. Allison is one of our deans, and she is the dean of adult education at West LA. And she's going to show us the best practice that we are putting into practice and implementing at West LA College. So I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce her. And we have several of the other adult ed deans here and other team members, and we're really glad that is very good to support Dr. Moore in the process and also the best practices that we're going to implement across the district.
So while we're waiting for the public comment and while you're there, why don't you introduce your dean? The deans, I should say.
The deans, okay. So I have from Harvard College, Priscilla Lopez, Dean Lopez. Mm-hmm. I have from Southwest College, Dean Laura Perez. That is all of our deans. And then I have faculty member who is over the ESL Institute at Westover College, Priscilla Steffers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the general from the community college, right? So, and this morning we then have a team of district teams to work on our Title I UL grant and integrated planning.
Yeah, and it's a great group of people, and I've been in one or two of their meetings, and I've walked by doors while they're meeting, and they're all aggressively and very professionally working towards improving adult education services for our students across the region. So thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mullen and Dr. Miller. And now, can we proceed to the public comments?
Hi, my name is Kelly Taylor. I work with the Office of Educational Literacy for the Los Angeles Public Library. And I just wanted to thank the board and the Literacy Planning Coordination Team for inviting us to participate in the conference this past weekend. We had a good time. We had two presentations there, and our staff got a lot of participating, so thank you for including partners in the process. And then I just wanted to give you a quick update on two different initiatives happening at the Los Angeles Public Library that might have appeal to what you're doing in the adult education world. The first is we had our third graduation ceremony this past week for our Caroline High School students. So we had 31 people participate in that graduation ceremony of the 56 that were eligible this year. It was a wonderful event. If you're interested in taking a look at how we do it at the library, we have it on our library's Facebook page if you want to take a look at it and stream that live. And I just want to introduce my supervisor, who is the Associate Director for Lifelong Learning for our library, to talk a little bit about another initiative that we've been recently launching.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to mention that we have our initiative, New Americans Initiative, that just launched in January in partnership with a number of different nonprofit organizations who will be available in public libraries that I'll name in a minute for immigration assistance, whether that's with TPS, DACA, or citizenship. They have office hours that are available on our website and the branches that are hosting these centers, Benjamin Franklin, Coima, Central Library, Wilmington, Junipero, Serra. So and we will be launching hopefully Chinatown next year, as well as Echo Park. So you can refer clients who need help in this area to any one of these locations to receive assistance, and it is free of charge.
Thank you. Okay, and now we move on to the third portion, which is the third item on our agenda, which is program updates. We start with Dr. Tom Mura's presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for having me here today to present. My team and I presented, actually on Saturday, went on slightly different topics. So we actually had two panels, one on onboarding with our partners at LA Technology Center and the Bennett Skill Center. And then we also spoke about co-requisites and supporting our student success. And that was with our, we're reviewing non-credit and credit together at both the Bennett Skill Center and Adult and LA Technology Center. So today's presentation is to kind of give you a bigger picture of the framework that we're using about changing, I think, the paradigm and changing the culture of our community colleges and here, specifically West Los Angeles College, around creating gateways to success for adult ed. And this presentation came out of one that I did recently to a district-wide faculty meeting 2 weeks ago at Valley College, where I spoke to about 30 faculty there, although it was an all-day with about 250 faculty. So what I'm telling you is just specifically what we're doing with adult ed populations. These are the groups that we are currently serving. They have different numbers of students based on their type of students. We are continuing to grow and expand our outreach. For those of you that don't know, West LA, out of the 9 colleges, is one of the 3 that's coming into non-credit adult ed much later than some of the other 6 who have been doing ESL and non-credit citizenship job training for much longer. However, one thing that we have been doing in the last couple of years is that we have done a lot of curriculum. So we're ready to roll out into this vision and try to onboard and improve our students. So, So these are just some of our partners that we work with on campus, and we have our off-campus partners. One of the things I want to say, we do have our 3 adult school partners, Venice Village, LA Technology Center, and Culver City. We also expanded this year to Mar Vista Garden Housing Project. We're going to enroll 40 brand new college students who live in the house of the city of LA Housing Authority. We've also done some job readiness classes with Housing Authority in Jordan Downs and the Mid-Wilshire area, and we have 2 workforce partners, so those are our off-campus partnerships that are for adults. And then we have some specialty programs on campus that work with disabled populations, low-income populations, and then first-generation students, as well as students that lack basic skills. So those are some of our special programs that we also do on campus that are specifically adult ed. One of the new initiatives that has come down from the state chancellor's office for community colleges is Guided Pathways. And this is really about having community colleges really work at improving our student success by these 4 pillars. Clarifying the passages for our curriculum maps and alignment. Entering the path, how do our students get access to enter college? How do we keep them on the path and succeeding? And then how do we ensure that they're learning and then the outcomes of employment, transfer, etc.? So this is something that's very community college, not K-12. So that's the reason why I'm sharing it is because we found a way to really integrate our adult ed initiatives within the broader college guided pathways framework, which is really key and something our president and administration. So we're focused on these 2 middle ones. So entering the path is what? For one thing,
Alice, can I ask a quick question? I apologize. In talking to our K-12 colleagues here, guided pathways, or the notion of pathways from the K-12, whether it's credit or non-credit, into community college, what type of alliances have occurred, or what type of, what's the word I'm looking for, from one to the other when you...
Transitions?
Transitions, or integrations, or bridges, or whatever word I'm trying to find, is happening in the K-12s, so that students get from there... go from there into our community college in some form or fashion.
Well, I can tell you what West is doing.
Okay.
So, for example, we have had long-standing transitions from, let's say, let's use LUSD West and Culver City High, because those are our primary theaters. So we've now overlaid the guided pathways into their specialty programs at each of those high schools. And we're aligning our curriculum, both non-credit and credit, to those students so they do it while they're at work. So the goal is 100% concurrent enrollment in college. The only way you're going to get 100% is the inclusion of non-credit.
Alignment was the word I was looking for.
Right.
So there is work aligning with the K-12 feeder, whether it's adult or credit or non-credit, directly into West, which is obviously the way that the guided pathways is intended, and I think the direction that the state's going to be going more and more in the years ahead as we focus on employment.
Yeah. And then just so for our college, non-credit, which is a bigger umbrella than adult ed, we're involved in the K-12 piece, alignment, as well as we're specifically focusing on an adult ed alignment pathway that is outside of the school system, outside of the K-12 school system. And so that's where we're really focusing on the adult ed. So thank you for that. So one of the things that Wes has really worked on this past year, or actually the past 6 months, I would say, is really opening ourselves up to improve our customer service and access. Because one of the things that community colleges, and you may, that may have heard this, is that we have a really challenging application. We have a thought, I mean, Veronica can say, you can share that, because we have firsthand experiences at Culver City Adult School of getting students to get through a 20-screen online application to take a free class. And so, the state chapter's office online application, which we do not have any control over, is very burdensome and cumbersome, and it's an obstacle to students accessing college. So we have made it our effort to provide in-person, high-touch assistance off-campus and on-campus on a regular basis, and we've used our learning center. So with my position, when I moved into my dean position just this past August, one of the additions that they gave me was to provide the learning center. So then I moved to making that become the portal of entry for the entire community to come through. So that has been a real change for our college to really make it a hub of entry and access. So students are learning about tutoring right up front. They're learning where the library is right up front, not when they are failing classes. So those are the kinds of things that really we're maximizing those kinds of knowledge and benefits and integration into college. And then we've also been using our basic skills 75 course to orient and transition them, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And then off-campus and on-campus, we're doing instructional partnerships in a cohort manner or in a structured manner to really onboard and transition students, and really the key is setting them up for success. Because what we've been really focused on is that we're not just chasing enrollments. We're not just chasing applications. We want to make sure our students are prepared to succeed. And that's that stay on the path piece. So that's something that we're working with both non-credit and credit to do that. So just as a snapshot of our 75 class, which I actually created about 10 years ago when I was at Trade Tech, and most of the colleges now have adopted it. But this is where students can, one of the first assignments is actually navigating the website and completing an application. So that in itself is education and a skill. And how to register for a class, and learning the terminology, how to apply for financial aid, how to get a fee waiver, how to access their student portal and email, all these very basic information, introducing them to the different student support programs, career pathways, how to read a catalog, how to read the class schedule, where things are, they go on a tour of the campus, they get their student picture ID. So that's a full onboarding class. It's a maximum of 9 hours. And we've been very creative with our adult school and off-campus partners that we've been doing most of the class off-campus, and then let's say on the last class, we do a field trip to the campus where they finish their last class, they meet with a counselor, they're taken on a tour, they're in the learning center, so and they get their picture ID. And so then that, and then we usually give them some swag. And that, you know, that really kind of makes them feel like, wow, I'm a real West LA student, not just less than visitor kind of thing. So that's really been a big change for us. And then this slide here really goes into, when we, for the 9-hour component, then we go into the, we introduce them to career pathways. So we're showing them online career, career exploration options. We explain to them the pathways we have. We talk about that. We show them the LAcolleges.net website that shows them the whole world of colleges and community colleges, not just West. We always tell them, you may be starting at West, but you may be transferring somewhere else because they may have what you need. And so we help them understand strategies around completing college level math and English, and then we have them also complete our process appraisal, which is for us part of the another community college thing that you don't have is the student success SSP, SSSP program, so we have to do that for assessment. And then we now help them continue navigating not only the website, but we also introduce our Canvas portal, because many of our credit classes, and soon to be non-credit, are to have web-enhanced our classes, where they have a website that supports the class. So if a student misses it, if they're unable to make it a class, they can access it on the website. We also have, we have the highest number of online classes that are also So we want to teach students how to do that. How to, everything from how to contact your instructor, how to make a complaint, how to, what are your textbook options? Like teaching students how to borrow, rent, you know, do online textbooks, finding it for free, open educational resources. And then the last class usually ends with financial resources. And we have to really differentiate between those that are eligible for federal financial aid, those that are eligible for state DREAM Act, those that are eligible for fee waivers, and then how to go about scholarships and all those different resources to support them. This is a lot to cover in one class. Thank goodness it's repeatable. So the nice thing about non-credit, the students are, you know what, now we have people say, you know, this is a really good class. The second class, they bring their cousins. And then the next class, they're bringing their brother. And so the nice thing is that we're getting people that bring their friends and relatives, and they're like, no one has ever told us this. We didn't know that this is what college is. You know, they have all these misinformation or partial and incomplete information about college, and most of the time they just don't know how they fit into the box. And so we're really kind of broadening their understandings and options for college. So then we actually, with our cohort programs especially, and with our offline, we actually have expanded and built upon 75 class to include two other classes. And this is where we bring in our college readiness certificate. So the students have all three of these classes, they actually earn a transcript and certificate that's approved by the state chancellor's office. So this goes on their college transcript. This is oftentimes the first award our students earn. And so that we coupled it with Basic Skills 5, which is an academic guidance. And this usually taught by one of our counselors. It deepens their career exploration. They get a student ed plan. They get group counseling. They can follow up with an individual counselor. They do eligibility and evaluation for their for EOP&S, for TRIO programs. We're trying to leverage and see how many programs do you qualify for, because we're going to get you enrolled in all of them, you know, so you can maximize your support and benefits. And just continuing to assist them with navigating, completing their financial aid application. As you probably know, it takes multiple sessions to actually complete the application. And then the last piece is that we do this often simultaneously. These next two classes, is they're taking a computer literacy class. Because we need to make sure that they have an email address. They know how to use their email. They know how to use the college website. We introduce them to the Google Suite and the Microsoft Suite, because those are things that they'll use in college, as well as applying for jobs. So we're also making sure that they have those very basic computer literacy skills to continue in college. So these three classes are what we consider the foundational classes to launch them into whatever they want to do. And when we talk about launching them, well, here I kind of talked about all this. Launching them into career pathways and to employment. And this is really going into the guided pathways model. And we really know that an incentive is helping them clarify what they want, why are they going to school? And helping them achieve their financial goals, their career goals, educational goals. So we already have five different non-credit career exploration classes. One that's kind of generic, industry overview and career opportunities. That's really kind of linked to our strong workforce and helping them understand, hey, what are the high demand careers and jobs? What are the skill sets? How do I align myself with that? Then we have ones that are very specific to pathways, like computer science, business, health sciences, law enforcement, and public safety. So those are four. Then we have academic preparation, because we know that students tend to stay on the path and achieve when they know the benefits. The outcome is their goal is their career. So we have up to six levels of ESL now. It's been approved at the college level. We're still getting the higher levels approved by the state. We have basic English skills, basic math skills. We have a high school equivalency test prep class that we just started offering this spring. And then we have our 23 class, which helps students prepare for the assessment test. Because even though we're using multiple measures, which for those of you that are not from community college, that means that the test is only one indicator of where they should be placed in the spectrum of college level or below college level. So it's now, it used to just be the test, and the test determines where you place. Now it has to be the test plus high school transcripts. Okay? So those are some of the things, and then also students can self-place and say, this is where I belong. And those two or three factors are then used to then put their, do their placement. So that's a little different than it used to be. So we're teaching students how to navigate that world and to prepare and how to advance. And then we have job training and career preparation. So job training meaning shorter term into a specific job where we have employer partners ready to hire. Career preparation means that they're learning the terminology. We're bridging their skills and knowledge to enter the college credit career pathway. For example, we have a bachelor's of science in dental hygiene that launched this year. So there's some preparation. There's basic science that, for example, Bio 3. 3A, 3B, the lecture and lab. There's no prerequisite. So everyone that wants to go in the science field or health science must have file 3A, 3B. High failure rate. So what we've done is that we've actually created a new biology fundamental class, and we're creating a new chemistry fundamental class that students can take before and during biology 3A to improve their passage rates of those gateway classes into higher paying careers, right? That they need in their degree, a 4-year degree or 2-year degree, that kind of training. And then we also have our employment readiness certificates and classes that we've linked to our different pathways, and we do contextualize employment readiness and job training to get people into work, and that's our partnerships with our workforce centers to do the actual placement. So that's kind of like from beginning to end. So this is our current pathway that we have in non-credit. You can see we have some holes here, but there's a lot of, this is where we started. We also, we have a lot on it. So what we're doing, this is a non-credit only. So what we're doing is we're aligning ourselves to the credit pathway. And that's the work I'm doing with my colleagues on the credit side to align ourselves with them, as well as to new and emerging fields that we're working on and pathways for both the non-credit and credit. So these ones are job training or standalone, and then we have prep classes related to these pathways to prepare them to move into credit. I think there's still something. I do want to mention that all of our classes show up on the students' transcripts. They're graded with a pass, a satisfactory progress, or a no pass. But you need a passing grade in order to get credit for the certificate. Satisfactory progress just means you make good progress, but you didn't quite pass. And that's really helpful for ESL students that it's not a pass fail, but they've made progress, but they didn't quite meet all the competencies. And then we now have counselors on our campus, which I tell you has changed my life, to have our own non-credit counselors that are working with our population to work with them on their ed plan, to submit their certificates and petitions, and students are walking through our commencement. So our students are included in our commencement booklet, and they are part of our commencement ceremony. And I think we might be one of the only campuses that does that. Our president and our administration is very committed to treating non-credit students just like any other student, and they're fully integrated into our college. There's no segregation that goes on. We're in the heart of the campus, not in some side crumbling building. So that's one thing that we're really excited about, that the culture of West has really opened up the serving. We have a lot of work to do. I mean, our college has for many years now told people, no, we don't serve you if you don't speak English at level 5 and higher. So that's a lot of marketing we have to undo, that, you know, we want to tell people now we have higher levels as a non-credit, and then serving a population that we've turned away for many years.
I have a question, please. You said in your commencement exercises. What you said in your commencement exercises, you have other people walk in those exercises. What are they, the vocational classes, or who's the other population?
So for the entire college commencement, mm-hmm. our students with non-credit certificate awards are part of the regular commencement ceremony for the entire college. We don't have a separate ceremony, and they're not excluded either, because many colleges don't even include them. But our college, we include them as just another award. And so they can walk through all the same commencement ceremonies with everybody else.
Can you give me an example of a program?
What program?
You
mean the non-credit?
Yes, correct.
Oh, so all of our programs, a program for non-credit in community college is any certificate. And so I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this. I have this handout here that's in the back where it lists our different certificates. So right now we have 14 certificate programs approved. So just to show you, we have our Foundation for Academic Success 1 and Success 2. We have our Foundation of English Skills. The ones without the asterisks are fully approved by the chaplain's office. The other ones with the asterisks, they're sitting at the chaplain's office waiting for approval, but the courses are approved. Custodial Technician Prep, for example, we've had graduates from that the past year. But this will be last year was the first year that our students, our graduates, were included in the commencement booklet, but they forgot to tell us that they included them, so none of our students showed up. So this year, we're including them and telling them, so they could show up and participate. Because I was literally sitting at commencement with Lisa, and we're like, hey, all of our people are on here, and we did not know that, and we would have told them, and they would have loved to have participated. So now we've already been working through all of our partners and say, hey, tell the students, because now we have counselors to submit the certificate applications, and then tell the students to show up and participate in the lesson. But so each certificate program are different in every college. Okay? Courses and certificates are individual campus based. We each have to apply for our own separately, and we have to get them approved separately. So they reflect the work that we do with our partners and our faculty, and then kind of the discipline strength that our campuses have. So I think that's the end of my presentation. Is there any other questions?
Yeah, I had one comment, one question. First of all, thank you so much for your presentation. Great work happening there in the West. And I really love what you said about how you're integrating the adult ed initiatives and plans with some of the current community college initiatives, guided pathways, the four pillars. I think that's a great model for us as we're kind of getting ready to write our next 3-year LERIC plan to, you know, not create a whole new plan, right, necessarily, but integrate in with a lot of these initiatives that are already showing some really great stellar results. I do have a question in terms of LAUSD specific. So Venice Skills Center has sort of an introductory dental assistant training program. Are you connecting with them? Because I can see what a great pathway to go from Venice Skills to potentially a BS degree.
So my answer is yes, we're in process. I have the two folks, the dean and the chair, got their calendars. The three of us are aligned, and then I've already spoken to Cliff to say, hey, I'm going to send you our availability so we can come out and connect, because there's been a lot of changes. So right now there is connection. The dental assistant students actually do matriculate to West for one class. And they do it through our website extension where they pay for it. So I'm not really sure why that's done that way. But my goal of the meeting is to explore what each program has, because we've had a lot of changes with the new bachelor's program, new facilities, new faculty. I'm assuming that skills have had changes. So we want to have that discussion on where can we strengthen this alignment and streamline that pathway. So, yes, the meeting is being scheduled for this probably after spring break.
That's really exciting to hear, and so I'd like to have our point person, Ms. Lee, kind of track that as well, because we want to make sure we keep that on the radar, because that would be really just a model type pathway program. So thank you. Appreciate that.
And I'd like to say that this is an example of the strength of the consortium and why this is so important to the LACCD. We've got 9 colleges across 900 square miles of regions, and to create these partnerships with, I think it's the 12 unified districts that we support, as well as to provide these alignments and these bridges from our adult schools directly into our colleges, from our colleges directly into certificates of transfer or whatever it is what this is all about and what the consortium is all about. And I want to thank you, Allison, for your passion and for years as both a faculty member and now as you've moved over to the dark side, and we appreciate that.
Fabulous, fabulous. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. And moving right along the agenda, we now go on to updates on our LEREC budget. To be provided by Ms. Moon Lake.
All member districts Q2 expense and progress report have been submitted to the LEREC office. That's it for now.
Very short.
Is everything happening timely? Are you getting the reports you need in a timely manner?
Yes.
Just a quick shout out to our new point person for LAUSD, Monley. It's a pleasure to have you. Some big shoes to fill. Size 12s, I think. Thank you.
And now we'll have a quick update on professional development, more specifically the LEREC Second Annual Conference in Vietnam, and also who will provide us with the updates.
Good afternoon. Just a quick summary. The 2018 LEREC Conference was held this past Saturday at the Sheraton Universal with approximately 450 participants, including 30 workshops from faculty and staff in K-12 adult ed, the community colleges, and our LEREC partnering organization, the Los Angeles Public Library. Dr. Fleming's keynote was timely and relevant, giving us fresh views on the evolution of career readiness for our adult learners. We're currently surveying presenters and participants so that we can improve and refine our content and delivery for the next conference.
Do you have a shout out?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I've been told to give another shout out. We'd like to do that. Just want to say thank you so much to all the point people, all the staff from the five districts coming together, really knocking this one out of the park. It was very impressive, just in terms of the logistics, of course, but the quality of the presentations and really the representation of all of the workshops from the five districts, very impressive. Major kudos.
And if I may, I was able to attend one of the workshops with our student participants, our panel, and those were excellent to hear the students' point of view on how valid all of our programs are throughout our LEREC team members here, and how well they're getting the information out in regards to how much they're learning from adult school within our community colleges, from CTE to high school diploma, to citizenship. And it's always nice to hear the student's point of view. It reminds us, and I had a quick conversation here, it reminds us why we're here and the work that we're doing. It's all about the students, and the students' stories are great. And it was a very nice panel. Well done, very well done.
And I want to add quickly that, Adult Ed was clearly in the house, if you will. We had enormous attendance. We had board members from our various districts there. The LAUSD superintendent was there. And it was just very, very impressive. It was very professionally well done. The workshops that I attended were great. Adult Ed faculty and directors are a passionate group of people. And it was great to see. So, and Lansley even went down and got right back up because he wasn't feeling well. But it went very, very well. So I'm sure that all of us on the board say thank you to everybody for a job well done.
Thank you again. Just one quick note on the student panels. We're actually collected the information that was provided at that time, and we're hoping that we can include some of that information as part of our yearly plan and as part of our 3-year plan as well, as we are supposed to include information from all stakeholders as part of the plan. So. Okay, now we have policy and legislation update. Mr. Elvis Arias will provide that. I believe that I missed Elvis's name on the agenda, and I apologize for that. He tells me that he has memorized the entire report, and it's going to read a verbatim
That's what I said. So I wanted to, so my report would be the shortest time up here in the front, but I don't think I could top on me. So, Dave, if you want to call me Elvia, that's fine. You can be offended by that. So my job is to present, summarize the ALEO report. This is an partisan office that provides fiscal and policy information and advice to the legislature. The LA presented a 2018-2019 report analysis on adult debt. It's about 8 pages long. That's why I said it. So the report begins with a summary and a background on adult debt, detailing items such as adult debt purpose, which is to foster greater coordination between the adult ed and CP, the governance proposal addressing COLA, which is the cost of living adjustment of a 4.1 increase, and ongoing funds to support data projects, which is a $5 million proposal. Okay, so the report then summarizes under adult ed alignment issues. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about those a little bit. So the first one is student identifiers, which refers to the statewide student identifier to address the social security issue. State funding, which is the per student rate, course fees, this is the fees versus no fees, where some instances, some schools, some programs charge and some programs do not. Accountability, which is a portion of funding based on performance. Coordination with other adult ed funds, which refers to entities that are not part of coordinating but are not necessarily required to be part of a consortium, such as libraries and community-based organizations. Student assessment and placement policies, referring to the multiple methods for initial placement. Minimum instructor qualifications, such as teacher credentials, different requirements at the CCs as there is in the adult ed. Credit versus non-credit courses, the community college issue. So lastly, hopefully everyone got a handout. I think it was placed in the back to summarize other recommendations. I'm going to go ahead and go over those real quickly. First one is to revamp adult ed funding rules by setting a uniform per student funding rate and consider building a performance component to the funding system. And this is for consistent services. Establish a consistent fee policy, either eliminating fees or charging a nominal fee for all adult ed courses. Require all adult ed providers to coordinate with their adult ed regional consortia. Again, it refers to the libraries and those community-based organizations. Approve governance proposals to support data projects, which will require adult ed to assign it, again, the statewide student identifier to students without SSN. So, the SS IDs will be used and maintained by the California Community Colleges. Wait for the CDE and the Chancellor's Office to complete work on the life assessment and placement policies, with the opportunity to revisit issues next year if necessary. No longer require adult ed instructors to hold a teaching credential that provides PD, professional development, if the legislature is concerned with instructor quality. Lastly, create clear definitions that distinguish credit and non-credit instruction at community colleges. Thank you, Mr. Carrigas.
Go ahead and do the comment.
Okay, I have one comment. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Carrigas. So, the one issue regarding the teaching credential I know has been coming up, you know, for many years, and I just kind of wanted to share a little bit of an update from LAUSD. We had initially kind of engaged with our labor partners, UTLA. Some of you may not be aware of this. I know we do have some UTLA represented folks in the audience. Kind of around this issue, because I think we have a really unique opportunity given our growing relationship, deepened relationship with the college district, to really look at common, not only common requirements, which may or may not involve, kind of doing away with the credential. I know that's kind of a controversial topic. But certainly looking at avenues to create maybe some very specific, you know, very high quality type professional development, teacher induction type programs within the consortium. And so we've had those discussions, and unfortunately, UTLA expressed that they couldn't move forward, at least at this time, with some of the language that we were looking at to address this issue legislatively. So I guess at a certain point, I'd like, because I know at one point when we were in the AB 86 process, we actually had, I think, a ledge group that met around some of the key issues that were addressed in the previous LAO report as well as others. And I think, again, I'd like to kind of throw the challenge out there to Larrick to maybe consider having that type of a group, obviously inclusive of our labor partners, of course, to really help address and maybe drive some of the solutions here because, you know, as we all know, if we wait too long, the state will just tell us what to do. It's always better to kind of, I think, you know, given our influence in the state, obviously being a really large consortium, but really having access to some of the key movers and shakers with the LA delegation, senators, representatives, etc. I think we have a unique opportunity to really join forces to address some of these elements. So I just not providing any direction to anybody at this point, but just kind of putting that out there as really something that we should consider as Larry.
Yeah, first I want to digress and apologize for the meat locker environment we're in. I've been emailing back and forth trying to get, it turns out that the controls that heat this building actually are now heating the high school next door, so that's another issue. Other duties as assigned, as they say. But I did want to point out, and Elvis spoke to it, there is an 8-page LAO Legislative Analyst Office report on here that really is really important reading right now. The first bullet item is revamp adult education funding rules. Begin by setting a uniform per student funding rate. That is very, very important for the K-12 adult ed operators at this point. We in the community colleges are fortunate because we collect both FTES as well as our AEBG funding. But as a LARIC consortium, I think legislatively, as Mr. Stark was saying, there are some key things that we should pick up on, and we should use our collective legislative oomph of the size and scope of our districts to try and get the stabilized funding that we need, and to do so as a single voice. So that is something I hope that we take up. But again, this 8-page report, which is I think attached and on the website, Lance, if I remember correctly, is worth reading, and it does basically imply that there are some significant tweaks to the adult ed delivery system that need to be made as a result of the funding decreases that occurred, what, kind of 3 years ago, 4 years ago, however long it was. Mm-hmm. So I think as a consortium, we need to continue to move forward in that direction.
So I believe that we addressed this a little bit at the last meeting, and I agree with both Mr. Stark and Dr. Miller with their comments. I've got some additional ones because I don't want to repeat what they just said and waste people's time. But regarding the first one here, where this word uniform, I recall last time I said that word is a very interesting word to me because that cannot be applied. There are programs that are much more expensive to run than others. CTE programs are more expensive to run than ESL. Programs for students with disabilities are more expensive to run because you need additional staff. So I think we need to keep these things in mind. And whoever these very insightful people at the LAO, I would hope that they address these specifics. The other is a consistent fee policy. Right now there seems to be some issues with the CDE and the Chancellor's Office regarding this issue of fees and the communication there, because I know that I've gotten emails recently regarding fees, and I know that there was a survey that was done by the CDE about this, and I don't know that one hand is talking to the other, that the CDE is discussing this with the Chancellor's Office regarding the survey they've done about fees. And frankly, what happens with these surveys? I don't want to keep contributing to things if something is not going to be, if there's no fruit at the end. I've got enough paperwork to do. And frankly, again, the issue about credentialing is very interesting. I don't know that I would disagree with a credential for an ESL instructor. There needs to be sound instructional strategies there. So I want someone to have credentials in ESL. But here's where I find it very difficult. Have you tried to find a really good CNA teacher or CMA instructor and only to find that they have to have a credential as well? And that you've got to refer them to the county and through that whole bureaucratic process of getting a credential. That's where I think we should investigate, and I agree with Mr. Stark, as a consortium of really using our influence, I guess you could say, if we have any, I'm sure we do, being the largest consortium, in saying we need to look at these restrictions for CTE instructors. And the fact that it's so difficult to get quality people, they have the background in the industry and the qualifications, but the hurdle is that credential. So that's all I've got to say.
Thank you all for your comments. That concludes our program updates, and now we'll move on to our section on information items. First information item is to be presented by Mr. Garcia from the Portobello University School District.
Good afternoon, all. First of all, on January 19th, the LERD Board took action in regards to a reallocation from Montebello Unified Adult School. We came up with Montebello will be reallocating $6.3 million back to LERD in regards to the consortium. And at this point, I just want to give an update. As of today, I believe all MOUs have been signed, correct? From Mr. Chris?
Unfortunately, not yet.
Okay, so we're still pending complete signatures. So if we're still pending complete signatures, I cannot submit anything to my Board of Education for a board action item until I have all signatures. Okay, that's the first one. As soon as I have signatures from all parties, I can then submit my board action item to my board, and then the board will allocate or will take action on getting back. I don't like using that word, but reallocating the $6.3 million back to the LERD consortium. So it is going to take a process. Once I'm able to get all signatures, I can then start the process with the board action item. From the board action item, the board can make an approval on that. From there, the LERD office will have to invoice Montebello Unified in regards to the $6.3 million payment. Then from there, we'll be able to scratch either in one check in two payments we'll be able to give back the $6.3 million. We're able to pay back $5 million right now at this given time, and then as of June, once we get our allocation from the state, we will pay back that $1.269155. And once the state gives us the money, we'll write the other check as well. So I just want to update the board. As soon as I get the MOU signed, we get them signed, I can move forward. Mr. Studios, I know one of the MOUs was saying via the CFAD document, we are going to try to divert the money back to our members. However, I know the state said we're already on a pay schedule, so that money is going to come to Montebello, and then I have to divert it back to the consortium. No problem whatsoever, but that means we have to amend that second MOU saying it was going to be via the CFAD document. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because that's what I had. There was one that said for one-time money, so $5 million and change.
Right.
The other one was the 1.26, saying it would be a CFAD. However, obviously we can't do that. So once I get that payment, obviously we'll scratch another check.
Right.
So that's the second document that my administration have already signed. So I'm going to need a different MOU, just a restructured MOU on that one, the 1.26.
Okay.
And then we'll be able to be invoiced once again. We can get the money to by that deadline, as quickly as we can.
Absolutely. I think we have agreement on the general requirements, and then we can work on the details.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at this point, it looks like I'll be able to do in two payments, one for over $5 million, and the second one for $1.26. And I know we're on a deadline of June 30th. I'm working as diligently, as quickly as possible. I do have to go through my channel, through my district, so please bear with me, consortium members. I'm working as quickly as possible. Any questions from the board? Yes, sir.
Nope.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Garcia for all his work on this. It's very appreciated because I know he's been working very diligently with his administrators, stakeholders in Montebello. So thank you, Mr. Garcia. So one comment, I'm not sure if it's a comment or a question, but one thing I guess that concerns me as a board member on LARIC, so, you know, taking action in January regarding the payments, and basically it was all this board did was essentially approve what was presented by Montebello USD. And now I'm hearing there's an additional process where what we approve now has to go to Montebello's board, and perhaps you might want to talk. I mean, it makes me a little nervous only because, you know, the monies that are going to be reallocated to LAUSD are critical to our operations, and in fact, you know, the March 15th deadline has passed, and so a big part of our budget stabilization plan to avoid layoffs of staff was really predicated upon receiving those funds. So I guess I just want maybe some level of assurance, or if you want to comment on, you know,
sure,
on that issue.
No problem, sir. So I've already written it's called a Monday morning memo to our Board of Education, so they are aware that the LARIC Consortium has voted and or taken action on a return back of $6.3 million. So they have been, they will be informed, or they have been informed verbally. Now they're being informed written-wise by myself. Also, the superintendent has already communicated that, and I've been in communication with our superintendent, as well as our legal fiscal advisor has also been informed. They actually had to sign off on all three MOUs prior to me even bringing them back and me signing them personally for LARIC as a point person. So nothing has not been communicated to my board and or superintendent or the LACO fiscal advisor. So everyone within the Montebello Unified District has been informed at the executive level, should I say. So, Mr. Stark, I hope that answers your question. We've definitely been on top of it as quickly as possible.
Good. Yeah, thank you so much for that response. I'd like to ask Mr. Estudio, so evidently Mr. Garcia is waiting on some paperwork from one or more districts, and so we want to make sure if there's any discussion or anything that's necessary at this point to make sure that we have assurances that the paperwork will move forward to avoid any further delays for Mr. Garcia.
Yes.
So I guess my question is, who are we waiting on?
I was just going to say, I think you can publicly out all of us at this point. Because I don't recall seeing anything on this, but maybe I got a lot of people across my desk. Is LACCD one of the holdups?
No, LACCD is not. Was Culver City?
Yeah. So Culver City is, we haven't changed since we started. We haven't had a complete changeover in our administration. New superintendent, new assistant superintendent of business services. We just hired a new HR. So with the MOUs, I ran it by our new assistant suit of business services to find out if I could sign. And so what I was told is I can't sign when it's this amount of money. So we went through them. The concern, so we've signed two of the MOUs. The one MOU that is still in question, which is the one connected to the CFAB, is the last MOU that talked about distributing. Yeah. The ongoing funding. So my only concern with that one is it was about the current formula in the future. And my understanding was that the funding formula moving forward was something we were going to be discussing. So we were a little apprehensive about signing something that implied that this funding formula would continue into eternity.
Beyond this year.
So that was the question, that was the reason that we weren't signing that initial one. And so that's the answer.
Okay. So I'm wondering if some clarification is needed on the ongoing funding distribution, Mr. Studios. My understanding was that was part of the board action that was taken in January. So maybe And I don't know if we need to do it now, but at some point, maybe just having staff kind of come back with some clarification on what was actually voted on. Maybe if there is some confusion or uncertainty about, because I guess from my point of view, part of the action that we took in January was that we actually voted on specific amounts going to each of the districts. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so maybe I'm confused then.
And that part is not the question. I think that what we voted as an executive board that day of the meeting, mm-hmm. we voted based on the conversations we had. Then MOUs were written, and they're legal binding documents. Mm-hmm. And so it was that piece the amount is not the one in question. It was some of the language in the language around ongoing. So, I'm happy to go back and look at that. And then the other concern that our district had was that all the MOUs were exactly the same number of pages. So, an MOU should have the description on the signature on. So my district was not going to allow us to sign one signature page to encompass multiple MOUs. So he wrote the top. I typed. Lansing director told me to type the description of that MOU on the top, so I typed those out and then sent them in.
Great. No, thank you. That clarifies.
No,
thank you. I appreciate that explained because that clarifies it for me. As long as the amounts were clear on the amounts, I'm good.
So I do want to just maybe clarify from Bergen's perspective. Is that, you know, we all have supervisors. So, given the, as Ms. Montes said, given the amount of those MOUs, but frankly, given the language, we agreed to figures that is correct in January. There's no debate about that. But once the MOUs are presented and there's specific language there, that has to be reviewed, at least in Burbank's case, by our district. And at that point, it is determined that our board had to approve that, which they did last evening, and I brought the signed documents to you today. So that's something we might want to consider if we encounter this in the future, is that we're a board, but, you know, we're kind of an intermediary in a way. It's kind of an odd situation, either fish or fowl. And so there are our own district boards that may require us to approve things.
Absolutely. That's where I'm at right now. Once everyone is signed, then I can bring it to my school board. Like I said, they've been informed. However, they won't take action until everything is signed. So, like I said, that second MOU, Mr. Studios, that's the one that's at via CFAT. It'll be via second payment if we can. I don't know how the language changes, but we have to have via second payment because I'll have to take that back, that second MOU, one more time. So, I don't know if that's going to be a process again for all the districts. I'm going to be very upfront with you, but the quicker we can get this off the ground, I know districts need and LCDD the money, so I get it. So I'm trying to move as quickly as I can. See, that might change for you. I don't know.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say, and I'll shut up after this, I promise. The only thing I'll just say is just to make sure, you know, from LAUSD's standpoint, I really want to make sure everybody understands that, again, you know, the amounts that we put forward were based on need, and so we don't have any extra sort of sitting around in an account somewhere, so we're really basically counting on those funds, and so I just want to make sure everybody understands that, that's all.
And so if Culver City is the one holding up at this point, since Burbank signed their the last MOU,
has to be restructured anyways, Veronica, for the 1.26. That was said via the CFAT. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Sirius, yes?
No, the CFAT actually is a separate transaction. Mm-hmm. The MOUs simply document exactly what was agreed upon on January 19th, mm-hmm. And what was voted in by the Executive
Correct.
Board of Labor. So that's basically verbatim. You know, X amount of dollars will go this way, X amount of dollars will go that way. So they just serve to document the transaction.
Okay.
The CFAT is the document that informs the state of the change in allocation.
And so the MOU, the transaction kit could have been implemented via CFAP, if that were possible,
correct,
or via other mechanisms, which is what we are going to approach at this point. So there's really no need for amendment to that MOU.
So in order to be able to move it forward and get signatures for my district for the last component. So CFAP, I'm the one that signed that. That's not a problem. It's the last MOU. One of my concerns is that we sign something with an understanding, and then when the discussion comes up, so I'm going to give the example of the revisiting the funding formula. When Culver City were signing the piece that says the 1.269, it's the one with the 2.6 with other numbers.
Correct.
We're signing with the understanding that we will be revisiting that funding formula. If we're signing and the assumption is that we're all agreeing to that formula moving forward forever and ever into eternity, then there's a problem. But I don't like to be told that we already agreed on something, and that I somehow misunderstood. So I'm just trying to figure out how to make sure that we are going to have a conversation about funding formula, and that what we're signing doesn't create that funding formula in perpetuity. And I don't know if I can.
Was there a question there?
So that we don't belabor this too long. I think what I'm hearing is we've all agreed to redistribute this year's 17-18 the Montebello portion to the K-12's LACCB played out of this one, as you might recall. Mm-hmm. We're not making any obligations beyond this year in terms of allocation. Is that kind of what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Or beyond.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, isn't it beyond 1920? We're not making anything beyond the 18-19 academic.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yes. So that's correct,
and that's memorialized in minutes.
The record, right.
Then I will get signatures.
That was my understanding.
Okay, we're good. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Not the text.
Okay.
Okay, item number two is alert office expenses, and again is Paul Flick will provide an update.
I promise this will be a longer update. Very well, but at last year's NERC open meeting, September 29, 2017, we presented an accountant and expenditures up until June 30th, 2017. So the expenses allocation were $332,266, expenses were $116,655, and the balance carryover was $215,601. This year, this is the 2017-2018, so the budget, the Merit Committee's budget report is from July 1st, 2017 until now. If you look at the budget item where you see $14,682, the reason why you see that is because you're seeing the carryover less this year's budget for the Merit activities. Overall the allocation is the carryover plus this year's budget.
expense allocation is $381,464. Expenses is $74,999. Available balance is $306,465. But I wanted to go over really quickly with you the just really big ticket items for expenses. So if you were to look at the supplies and materials in the 4,000K, you'll see that the expense is $13,776. And the reason for that is because the card, you know, how do you get the beautiful card to conquer? Your badge? Did everyone receive a badge at the conference? Okay, thank you. So that's part of it. Card to Creators Corporation plus, you know, catering company for meetings and Power Office Solutions for printers. That's where part of where the supplies and materials are coming from for the expenses. And if you look at the 5,000K, which is the other operating expenses services, you're going to see the expenses of $43,972, and that's for the conference, such as the presenter Kevin Fleming, website designer, professional development, and just please keep in mind of the upcoming expenditures, such as the encumbered funds of $139,234. I just wanted to let you know that purchase orders have been created, and now we're just awaiting invoice from the receipt. And that's it for the Learn Activities Budget Report.
Any discussion? Okay, thank you. So we proceed on to the LERIC advisors.
For the LERIC advisors. So this past Tuesday, March 13th, we had six individuals that we interviewed, and the panel recommendations were submitted to Mr. Joseph Stark, Executive Director of LUC on behalf of LERIC. And the reference checks are now in progress. Thank you.
So, I have a question.
Yes.
So I do have a question, very simple one, and that is something that our board wanted me to ask. What are the services that are going to be rendered by the advisors? I'm assuming that some of that is PD, curriculum development, curriculum alignment. I mean, am I right there, or can you add something to that?
Right. So when we originally described the activities that these individuals were going to be doing, we distributed a job posting that included all of the activities. I believe PD is part of that, and the activities that you mentioned. Unfortunately, I did not bring the job description to tell you exactly all the elements that are included in there, but the board has reviewed the job description, as the positions were approved originally.
Yeah, it might be helpful to Mr. Studios to distribute those to the board members, just in case there are questions, you know, about what these folks are, you know, going to be responsible for. And a quick shout out: we did. We're very fortunate and appreciative of having several of our board members participate on the interview panel. So thank you.
And I'll just add that I was on that panel along with my two colleagues here to my right, and we were very impressed with the candidates and believe that we'll have some strong new team members in the very near future.
And I would like to thank Mr. Stark, his office, LAUSD, very professional, very welcoming, very helpful to us as outsiders. And to be a part of that process, and it was very professionally run, and so it made me very proud to be part of the consortium and to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
moving right along to the American 3-year plan. Just to give a little bit of background on this item, the board had requested the point person's team to look into contracting with either a consultant or a firm to help us generate a 3-year plan for next year. And at this time, the point person's team would like to request for us to defer that for a little while. We would like to take a look at the template that the state will be providing, just to make sure that we are, you know, focusing on the right elements that need to be included as part of the plan. And so it is, if at all possible, we can defer that for a little bit so that we have the appropriate information as we move forward. Comments or discussion? Questions? Thank you. And then last but not least, we have an update of expenditure percentages based on changes to member district allocations. This was originally the name of the person that we put on the agenda was Carrie Frog, but it's actually Mr. Garcia, I understand, that will be speaking to that.
Yes, I'd like to make this a discussion item. It's in regards to the LARIC office. As you may know or may not know, each member of DSCRAN gives a percentage to the LARIC office for the functionality of the office and the day-to-day operations. It's based on a percentage that each district gets from their money in regards to that state allocated via the AEBG funding. So when monies are allocated and are reallocated, we all give a percentage per district to the LARIC office. Now, what brings me to my point is I would like to have a discussion in regards to when allocations change, like Montebello's has now changed, what I'd like to see if we can now discuss if we can change the percentage per district because of the fact that our allocation has now changed, as well as the other member district's allocation has changed to increase and ours has decreased. So I'd like to make that a discussion point if we can kind of talk about that, please.
No, Joe? Yeah, and then I had a question maybe for Mr. Studios now. So Mr. Garcia mentioned that each of the districts contributes to the LARIC office, so LARIC staffing. Is that currently the case, or that's proposed to be the case?
That is proposed to be the case.
Got it. Okay.
Has not been effective as of yet, and basically the MOUs that were discussed earlier are the documents that are being used to implement that those contributions.
So currently, for example, your salary, other salaries of staff currently providing services around LARIC is coming out of the LAUSD allocation, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
So, one thing that strikes me is one way of approaching it would be simply to develop the budget that it takes to run the consortium and then take that off the top and then allocate on the basis of what's remaining instead of this percentage concept.
Yeah, that seems to make a lot of sense that we should look at kind of putting funds aside beforehand, right? Based on a budget, based on what we believe to be the needs of the consortium, the duties, what's going to be required. I would certainly be in favor of that. I think that's a really common sense suggestion for sure.
And just when Carrie presented this one?
That was not intended to be sent out. That was sent out by... No.
So there's a working document that shouldn't have got out.
But I mean, I was discussing with Lancy, and it didn't... Yeah, it was not distributed.
Out there. Okay.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm asking is because the percentage in L.A. had gone up by 2%. I assumed that was a percentage... Based on the top, I thought it was what LA had, we had put into LA extra in the meantime. So.
Yeah.
Got looking at different percentages based on what you can have. Okay.
Just to provide a little bit of context.
Yeah, Lenny, can you give some background in regards to the percentages per district that are going to the letter conference and how they were brought upon from the get-go? Because I was a part of the process from the very beginning on how much was allocated per percent per district. I'm sorry, I need clarification on that, but how that came up.
Okay, certainly. Actually, if I... bear with me, this is all from
yeah, no problem. Then.
So, originally, there was there was a stated agreement, it was not documented, that the position of the project manager at that time was going to be funded by LAUSD in some funds in the amount of $166,000. We're going to be taken off the top, as Mr. Stark alluded, for LARIC activities, right, like the conference and the website, webmaster, you know, so on and so forth. After that, after it was recognized that the LARIC office needed additional personnel, the LARIC agreed to fund that particular office and by providing, you know, a percentage of the cost of running the office. In essence, the way this is being implemented is exactly what Mr. Stark was describing, or what Dr. Miller also alluded to, which is coming off the top, the percentages are only serving to define what that amount in general is, so that everybody, you know, pays a portion of that.
Okay, so it's not based on the allocation of what the district gets, because if it is, then it's the correct amount of value.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, thank you. So, some time ago, I don't recall if it was like 6 months ago or something like that, the executive board tasked the point person's team with defining a percentage for how much each one of the members was going to contribute. That percentage basically was based on the allocation that each member had at that time. It was presented to the executive board.
Okay.
The executive board approved it and was to be implemented. We have not, as of yet, because of various reasons that I don't think is relevant for us to go into at this point, but as of late, that particular, that same percentage was included with the MOUs that will document the transaction as approved on January 19th. So we're told that, all over
it. Okay, I understand that. So now I'd like to have a discussion on that, because that's an item that I would like to see happen to come to fruition, where now that our allocation has changed, then our percentage should change. Just like all the other districts. That's all I'm asking. That's what I would like a discussion on that. That's what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense now. Is that a little bit more clear?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask for clarification on just one piece before? So, there is the vote about the additional positions for the LARIC office that was based on the percentages. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you say additional positions,
so besides you, besides, okay. The one besides you.
Okay.
So the advisors, the fiscal people, the all of that stuff.
Right.
Right now, so since those have not been implemented yet,
right.
The cost of the LARIC of the LARIC office at this point right now is you plus like what we did for the conference, the PDs, all of that stuff. Where did that money come from initially? Because my understanding, this is where my understanding is, that week we all contributed to that from the get-go. The discussion about percentages was more along the lines of these additional positions that we were considering to support the LARIC office.
Absolutely. As noted before, the activities funding has come from the LERC. That's the 166, the three increments that have been paid for the last 3 years. However, in terms of staffing, I alone have not done all the work that has gone into doing everything that has needed to be done. So we had support from the teacher advisors from LAUSD to do a tremendous amount of activities.
Right, which is why we would be having a conversation about needing additional staff. That's because we understood that and appreciate everything that Mon did in her position before and Deanna did and everybody else at her at the LAUSD central office. But I just felt that I was clear that the original amount came off the top. The percentage for the additional stuff was the percentage discussion was about that additional staffing.
So I'd like to suggest, and maybe it's a future action item, like that we get back to kind of what Bob, I think, suggested, which was, I think, makes sense, so we don't get mired in percentages,
yeah, exactly.
Which really doesn't, it's not necessarily solving the issue. The issue really starts with, what does the consortium need for staffing, what's that budget, and then being very clear about what that budget entails, so we try to not infringe,
yes.
You know, as much as possible, you know, into other areas, you know, with all the districts. And we build in what we really need. And then we just take that off the top and then we distribute what's left, right? According to whatever formula. I mean, that's a whole other discussion, right? So I'd like us to maybe move toward that type of approach. I don't know when we're going to do that, but I'd just like to sort of put that out there as a goal. At some point, and it's going to start with obviously getting a true picture of what our needs are and a budget and in terms of what that office needs and given the needs of the consortium.
May I suggest two things? One is in the interest of expediting the transaction of the reallocation of the funding from Montebello, that we proceed as indicated on the existing MOUs. So that way, we can expedite that process. With CFAD 18-19, we can do precisely what is being suggested to implement that for year 18-19, remove off the top the cost of the LERC office, and then allocate to the districts according to the agreements that are already in place.
Okay. Great. That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Do we have consensus?
Consensus, yes.
Well,
okay.
I think Dan was the one with the question.
No, I'm still trying to process that, Lanza, to be honest with you, because of the fact that when my fiscal advisors are telling me that we're so-called paying an additional amount of money that we no longer have, it's kind of difficult for me to swallow. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was going to suggest, we could take two positions on this. We could just say, well, that's just the way it's going to be, which is not a good position. Or we could monetize exactly what the difference might be and discuss what that number is and see if we collectively want to provide some relief. So I would suggest, unless we have to have an answer today, that we calculate what the difference is and look at that. In other words, since the three of our colleagues here are going to get additional monies from Montebello, what I think Dan is simply suggesting is that he should not be assessed the same amount because he's now giving back, quote unquote, dollars to the rest of us. And so if that net difference is not a dramatic dollar amount, perhaps it's rational for us to consider relieving Montebello of that burden. Because being the fiscal guy at my district, I can imagine how he's getting pounded where he is right now. And we don't want his hair to go gray like mine, if possible. But I understand his position, having sat on both sides of the table in these conversations.
Thank you.
So is that agreeable to my colleagues?
Yeah, I think we need to know what that new percentage would be. Because we would have to go back, at least in my case, I should say, I would have to go back and meet with our assistant superintendent and inform them of those changes.
I mean, in round numbers, do we know how much we're talking about?
The total is only $45,000.
So...
I think it was 52,000.
Yeah, somewhere in there, Lansing, between 52 and 54,
57.
Something.
But that was your was that the amount that you needed?
Originally 57.
It was originally 57, so we would calculate. So we might be talking $10,000 at the most?
Right.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe less. So it's really not a big number collectively to us, but
for
it may...
For the second round, for the second, you said, we could do that off the top of the next one, then we...
So if we're talking about what really is a very
modest
low
amount,
it doesn't seem to me like we're going to need to take any board action.
No, let's just make the adjustment and move on.
But I can't speak for everybody else.
The only problem with this is, and I'm just trying to be clear here, because I agree, the total numbers are not that different. But here's the issue. We can't have our board approve something and then any kind of an adjustment made.
We have to go back.
We have to go back to them.
Right.
Because they're going to ask me, hey, who gave you the authority to go ahead and move on this? And we find out, they don't have to be rubber stamps. So that's all I'm saying is I've got to look out.
And you're right. So have any board actions taken place yet?
Ours was last evening.
Okay.
There are all those MOUs. They're related to the MOUs.
I understand. So Burbank could have to go back with an adjustment. That might be difficult to do that, and maybe not appropriate, frankly. Has Culver City taken action yet?
I have two of the MOUs signed. I'm not sure which one is the one about the percentage.
But they haven't gone to the board yet, have they?
They don't need to go to the board.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
So we're already signed. We're signed off on the Larry Office one.
We're fine with
so that. Maybe Burbank. So we might have to do an exception to Burbank since he's already had the board action taken. That you may have to accept that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can keep Burbank out of this, and the rest of us can adjust because we still have not. Does that work? Okay.
That works.
Well. Works for me. Yeah.
So can we call this one settled? Do you understand, Lindsay, what we're talking about?
I understand what you're talking about. Are there specifics on how to implement the growth action? Because we're talking about percentages, or are we talking about even distributing the amount, or
for this year, for whatever we're talking about right now,
Yes. There
is an amount of money that Montebello was reduced.
Correct.
So whatever that percentage is, deduct that from the fee that Montebello was to pay, and then distribute it amongst everybody else other than Burbank, because Burbank's already gotten its money back.
I'm raising my hand.
Oh, here.
So here's the problem. Because when you did your LARIC activity budget report, your expenses, the expenses so far are way under what the budgeted amount is right now anyway. So it might be just a moot point, If he doesn't do it, they haven't spent it. It's crazy to go through all of that if it's, not something already ready to be spent. So it might be just, we're good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, maybe we can just move forward with the MOUs, and then we can sort of pay Montebello back through the activities fund or something. There's probably any number of workarounds that, again, we'll be happy to be very transparent about what we're doing, right? It's not, we're not trying to be secret about it. Just trying to get Montebello what they need.
I think that's a very, that's
jump
that's
through
much
a bunch
better.
Of
that's
moves.
Yeah, I think that actually, that's a very workable.
Yeah, that's a much better idea.
We'll document it and submit it for your final approval, and then we can move forward with that. Do we have consensus on that then?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't quite hear everybody.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm
yes. Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Aye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Thank you.
Aye.
Okay, so that actually takes care of our information, our discussion items, and now we move on to item number 5 of the agenda, which is board member reports. Are there any board member reports?
I have nothing to report.
So I would like to report, and this is some of this we already alluded to, but this is regarding our conference. This was really a wonderful conference, and I would just like to cite some specifics. First is Dr. Kevin Fleming did a tremendous presentation, and his PowerPoint and information he shared was extremely. I have to tell you, it was like getting a shot of B12 for me as I left the conference. My recommendation would be that for next year that we move up our keynote and have them be the first speaker of the conference, because it was, I was in pain for him. I know we paid him well, but I was in pain for him having to undergo that clatter during lunchtime. So my recommendation would be to move him right to the top, as I think the APG Summit does. The other is, because I think people need to know that they really were outstanding. Dave Coleman, who, another star from LAUSD, did a presentation on marketing. Super. I came away from that with so many ideas. But he absolutely is a star of the LAUSD, of the many. And the other, another LAUSD member that made an excellent presentation on IET programs. And excellent PowerPoint, and again, talking about getting things from that conference. I had all kinds of ideas in my mind and couldn't wait to get to work on Monday to share them with staff regarding things that we will do differently programmatically in 18-19. So I want to thank everyone that had you and your staff, Mom, Diane, everyone else. I'm leaving many people out, but that was a wonderful conference.
Thank you.
Ditto.
Thank you again.
Ditto, and other comments from the LACCD.
Terrific. Thank you, board members.
Yep.
I'm good.
Everybody chimed in.
All right, so we action items. Item 6 on our agenda. The first action item has to do with the reinstatement or reactivation of the subject matter expert workgroups, and Ms. Anita Chavez will present on that.
At our last opening meeting, I mentioned that the one-person team requested from subject matter expert workers to submit a statement of work with a deliverable, and as a result, we have received the following. For ESL, for new standards for continuing standard work days for a month, which will require some typing and re-organizing the ELT standards for teacher-friendly use. Decide to create either a crosswalk from these course of line to the community college curriculum, or collaborate with the community college to complete the standard-based course of line. Given the intent of intensive work for this that is required, it might not be completed by May 31st, but they will submit an updated version to the standard-based course outline. For ABE, no statement of work was received. ASD, releasing the community college financial shortage that was created last year, distributes the revised shortage that to their member reaches a normalized use result. Further results by June 30, 2018. Company. By May 31st, 2018, the nearest company subject matter work group.
I'm sorry. He's referring to this handout that has been
sorry.
while we're delayed, should we try to hit these one at a time, or should we go through them all and then just come back to them? Does it matter?
I know that ABC work group did not submit the statement of work. I know that our ABE person and point people have talked to each other about aligning with the aligning curriculum for Montebello and Culver City and Burbank. I think LA has a robust curriculum already that exists, but the other three are willing to kind of look at theirs and create something. But I know that they did get a statement of work on time. So I don't want them to be precluded from working together because we vote on this thing. Does that make sense? So if we vote on this, does that mean ABE can't do something together?
I'll just bring it back.
All right. I'm looking over to the back.
Okay.
But it's up to you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Moving forward, counseling. On May 31st, 2018, the letter counseling program work group will edit the first draft of the best practices guide for counseling and both students. The edit will focus on the individualized student plan, IEP, a tool to be used with all adults to expedite their transition to community college, post-secondary career, and technical education. Training programs for employment. These will include the best practices for creation of an IEP, staff training strategy for school quality implementation, and use of the IEP, and steps for creating an ongoing system for monitoring student progress using the IEP. The deliverable will be a updated version of the best practices guide for counseling adult students due May 31st. Any comments on
this? So my question is, how realistic is this date? We're talking about roughly, what, a couple of months from now?
That is correct. My understanding is that they have already something in progress, and they will provide an updated version, maybe not completed, but it will be updated.
And then the other one is, subject matter speak group, does it incorporate some or all the counselors? Because my next question would be the professional development that possibly would follow the creation of this draft for the counselors.
And my understanding is, that everybody is collaborating, all the five districts, that's
Right. So I guess my question is there a potential for bringing the counselors together from all the member districts? Is there any desire or for those that wish to and put together professional development so that they are aware and can really use this document? There's no sense in putting something together if people don't really know how to utilize it.
Yes.
Perhaps not have everyone trained to use it by day, but have a better draft ready and decide how we're going to move forward with training everyone, definitely.
Okay, good.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm on the council.
Thank you.
I just want to say Monica gets to speak whenever she wants.
We all thought it. And thank you.
Moving on, CCE. The CCE work group will meet once by weekend, besides CCE and Valley. Between April to June, the CCE participates in an articulation one-on-one workshop. The workshop outcome will provide a foundation on the articulation process and identify pathways to be built between the adult school and the community college, which will be completed by June 2019. We are comfortable also in community college stakeholders will be invited to regional participation meetings. The information on the workshops and outcomes will be shared with quality. The CTE subject matter expert workgroup will facilitate the process by region. This will be done by June 7, 2018.
And just for those who don't know the LACCD acronyms, which is what this references, Seaside would be our three colleges, West Harbor and LA Southwest, in that area. City, we define that as a trade, tech, LA City and East LA. And then Valley is our Pierce, Mission and Valley colleges. And it's just a way that we kind of talk internally to kind of organize things.
Thank you, Dr. Mayor. Now, again, you presented to the Executive Board the question is, do you approve the reactivation of the subject matter workgroup?
Move approval.
Second.
Can we discuss?
Yeah, we have approvals and then discussion.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
Approval,
so
second.
We have a motion and we have a second, then we can open for discussion.
So I think this is excellent work, Ms. Chavez. You and the other SMEs and the point persons have done a great job. One of the things that, and this is more, I guess, a question, it's a kind of a friendly question here for Dr. Miller, is having visited three of the colleges, Pierce, Mission and LA Valley regarding ESL and having met with the staff there, I think a piece missing here is the articulation of a student that completes an ESL program and chooses to enter CTE at one of the colleges. What is that process going to look like so that there are no roadblocks or stumbling blocks? Again, it's not about going in and getting a degree. It's about can we articulate and really refine the process for a student that finishes the ESL program, as an example, at Burbank, but wants to go into, let's say, the automotive program, as an example, at Pierce. What articulating what steps they would need to take?
Right, so earlier Allison provided a presentation in terms of what West LA is doing in the area, but the way that this normally works is the alignment or articulation between a K-12 provider and the local community college is a local issue. So what typically has to happen is the district, the K-12, or the adult ed provider sits down with the college. I'm now proud to say that we finally now have adult ed deans at all of our colleges. So the step would be to start with the dean, and then the dean would typically bring together their college faculty with the K-12 faculty, and they would work out the articulation / alignment processes. If for some reason you got stymied in that event or that activity, this is one of the reasons we have a district-wide adult ed dean, which is Adrian Ann Mullen, and Dr. Mullen would then work with the higher-ups at the college administrations and, to the extent necessary, the district administration to try to streamline and activate this. But I will hasten to say that our chancellor and our board but have made this a very, very high priority now in terms of adult ed and alignment and working to build adult ed in our district. So if you did run into any roadblocks, we would be in a much better position these days to go over, around, under those roadblocks to get the job done. But it is a local decision. It's typically a faculty decision, so it's a little more complicated than perhaps it should be. I know on the statewide level, the community college system, they're looking at ways to streamline right now. And there's even some legislation out there that's looking at ways to streamline adult ed curriculum, individual course and program approvals.
So essentially, I'm hearing you correctly, that would facilitate our agency communicating with each community college regarding, because they have specialized CTE programs. So if we have a student that wanted to get into LA Trade Tech, we'd have to have that articulation. If someone wanted to go into LA City for a specific program, that would be another articulation.
Unless we could streamline it at the district level, which we very well might. So if that is, if Burbank, for example, gets in a situation where they want to go outside of their quote-unquote community college service area, then you probably end up working with Adrian Ann and Dr. Ryan Corner at our district. Ryan is my compatriot on the academic and student services side. So we'd find a way to make it work.
Question about, so we're looking at reinstating the subject matter groups. I love the work that they do and want them to drive their scope, the statements of work and changes or modifications that they need to make to the statement of work. If they see fit. So if they're doing the work and they see, okay, this is what we said we want to do, but given some of the circumstances or logistics or whatever, we've got to move in this direction. So I like the idea of reinstating the subject matter groups, and I definitely want to know the work that they're doing, but I don't want to control the work that they're doing. So I just want to
for that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any additional comments?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a lot to say today. I apologize about that. One of the things that I think is most powerful is the sharing that we do amongst member districts. And I know that for the Burbank teachers, that was, talk about the ESL, those teachers really benefit from working with the LAESD teachers, with the Culver City and Montebello teachers when they got together. I'd like to see that continue. We should have professional development for all of these groups, because it's a shame that we have to wait until the conference to hear these wonderful presenters. And I would urge us to really pursue PD at the ABE level. LAUSD has wonderful programs, excellent teachers. They can collaborate with strong teachers from Montebello, Culver, and Burbank, LACCD, and the same thing with ASC. So I'd really like to see that, because I think that's what I'm so passionate about regarding consortium work, is that collaboration amongst these teachers that really have so much to share in terms of their practices.
So just to clarify, that, are you suggesting a PD element be added to each one of these statements of work?
Yes.
Okay. And I would agree with that. So.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of us have had experience with the professional learning communities framework. And so I'd like, since we've had some LARIC training on that, we either expand that or kind of use that as a foundation, because when we talk about PD, there's any number of flavors you can have, but we obviously want it to be focused on student achievement, of course. So I'd like to, add that as well.
Okay, so...
Get up to the end.
Thank you. So we do have actually the action item on here. So would you like us to add at the end, including a plan for professional development?
Right. So if it pleases the board, I think we have to. I would have to propose an amendment to the current action item to include professional development with a focus on professional learning communities. Does that sound? Did I get that right?
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, just one quick one, because these are the deliverables that are due in June 30th, so would it be possible, if we call it professional development plan, to be implemented next year? Would it be realistic?
Mm-hmm.
So if that was a proposal, I would second that.
Yes, I agree.
So I talked about giving up the flexibility. So the reinstate subject matter expert groups to complete the presented statements of work and deliverables is...
Too prescriptive?
Too prescriptive. So I'm trying to figure out how do we...
Mm-hmm.
If I may interject, the part of the work that the subject matter experts do is inform the point person's team that their statement of work may not be going the way that they anticipated, so they have always had the ability of modifying their statement of work. So that has always been part of their process. The whole idea of a statement of work is for them to have a focus and a direction.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. I just want to publicly state, I wanted to avoid it being too prescriptive, but as long as it's not prescriptive, I'm good.
We could amend it further if we wanted to change, you know, because I would agree if it comes across as, you know, we're just kind of, you know, telling folks what to do instead of them. Really, the intent is that they're driving the work. They're driving it. We're not driving it. So I don't know if there's some language we, so maybe to complete or to drive statements of work and deliverables. I don't know what the language would be.
They created, each to me, created their own statement of work. So they considered what the boundaries were, and they understand that there's
nothing
possible.
For this one. Okay.
Okay.
I'm good.
I mean, I know all of you were like, what's the deal?
Okay.
So in the interest of time, I guess we call the question and move forward.
Okay. So do we have, can I have a motion to,
go ahead.
Oh, I thought Joe did.
Oh, I think Joe moved, or I moved, and I think I moved and Emilio seconded.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. So we have a unanimous decision, and we move on to the next item. Item 6.2. The Scary Crow is going to be presenting on that.
Good afternoon. I'm presenting on the potential metrics for MUSD quarterly reports. There was a handout in the back. Does anyone have the handout? In response to a directive given by the executive team to the point person team, we were tasked to create metrics for quarterly reports that Mondawa Unified School District will be submitting to LARIC. The executive team determined the four bullet points, and the point person team collaborated with the information we were given and our collective expertise to come up with the metrics under each bullet. So the first bullet is MUSD's efforts to ensure effectiveness of services. We have reports, which is what one of the metrics of the state is for effectiveness. Submitting reports on time, that's including our TE, the budget and expenditure reports. We also look at student outcomes. Those also are reports that come from TE, which is the one kind of system that we all use. There's the learning gains summary report and the persisters report. And then we also talked about average class size and cost per student, all to determine effectiveness. The second bullet provided by the executive team was growth targets. We talked about unduplicated and duplicated enrollment ratio with possible narrative to explain major changes, and the projected percentage of growth comparing end-of-year enrollment and student outcome data with a projection of 5-10% from the end of this year to next. The third bullet provided by the executive team was the expenditures consistent with the regional comprehensive plan goals. So that would be a bulleted list that shows the progress of the expenditures connected to the RCP. And the final bullet is the activities aligned with LARIC's regional comprehensive plan. That would also entail another bulleted list with all of the activities and how they match up with what was indicated that we would do in the plan. Are there any questions?
I'd like to move the item for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
One item that kind of jumped out at me was, first of all, I want to thank Montebello staff for putting this together. Appreciate that. the bullets 1, 3, and 4 look fine. I guess my concern would be, you know, and I know this has been brought up before, I mean, what we're expecting of Montebello, we can't hold them to a different standard than any of the other districts are prepared to meet. So I'm wondering, you know, when you talk about, and so I think the items 1, 3, and 4 are good, because those you could apply really across the board. But I do know that each district has unique growth targets, and I'm just wondering if that's something that we would want to perhaps amend here, so that we wouldn't necessarily be voting to hold Montebello to particular growth targets. That's really up for, you know, to Montebello to decide with their stakeholders, as it is for each one of our districts. So one proposal might be to amend and take out growth targets and leave the other three items.
So I agree. I think we want to stay away from growth targets. I think maybe what one of the metrics is just your enrollment information, not necessarily growth targets, but just what is your enrollment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if we take out growth targets and we put enrollment data.
Demographics and enrollment.
Demographics. So you're talking enrollment, duplicated, unduplicated, and average daily attendance.
Go ahead.
So I think I think it would be a good idea to have enrollment. But the other one is, at least I think I mentioned in our last meeting, and you and I had a conversation about our own schools about this, is tracking the attendance.
Right.
Because enrollment on your first day is one thing, but what is that ongoing attendance looking like in your various programs? And that might be something worthwhile for, I know I personally would be interested in that.
Now, I know I've informed the board a couple of times in regards to this. We also have implemented a board policy, which I don't think all the districts here also have a board policy in regards to enrollment per class size for CTE, high school diploma, as well as adults with disabilities. So that's something that I know is pretty unique, even within the states, because I actually had to do an informal survey to see who actually has a board policy in regards to that. So that was something I was held to for the state audit as well. So, I currently am taking action on different classes that may not have enrollment at this point in time as well. And that's something has been implemented.
Right, so if it pleases the board, I'd like to make a friendly amendment to the current item. Keeping items, I'm just going to number them, bullet 1, 3, and 4, and then changing bullet 2 to enrollment and attendance data.
So may I ask a question of Mr. Garcia?
Sure.
Is your enrollment target, or board policy, also covering your CTE program?
Correct. I've been notified as of earlier this week. I have a pharmacy tech class. Let me give you an example. I have a pharmacy tech class that is fee-based, $950 per student. Per board policy, the enrollment needed to be at 10. Right now, the recommendation is to possibly cancel that class, even though I have 7 showing up consistently, and that have all paid. So I'm going to try to fight that battle. I'm going to be very upfront with you, because it took us a long time to re-establish that pharmacy tech class, as which you all know, especially what we're looking for, quality teachers. So that's something I'm actually working with our superintendent and also our fiscal advisor to possibly still give us some leeway in regards to CTE classes. So their minimum enrollment, though, that they're looking at for CTE is 10.
So that is, I think, a really important piece to sometimes for not having a policy, because you want that flexibility. I'm not going to be so vulnerable, but I made a mistake this year with a decision like that. And here's the problem. When that CTE teacher walks on you,
gone.
you may not be able to replace them.
It took us almost, I'm sorry, it took us almost half of more than a three quarters of the school year to find a pharmacy tech teacher again. Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that Joe had said, Ms. Stark had said a few months back, and I don't forget that, is, you know, oversight as a board is one thing, and micromanaging is entirely different. I would never, from my end, want to micromanage anyone else's program, and I wouldn't want that to occur for me as well, but I don't know that I'd want to develop a board policy necessarily that would restrict me, because I need that flexibility sometimes, especially with CTE. I may have to run it. I shouldn't say this out loud, but with 5 or 6, because if I don't, that teacher's going to fail on me.
And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And that teacher has just been recently hired. So, you know, I'm still working on that. That's an aspect that I'm working on. That's this week, a matter of fact. So I'm trying very diligently to emphasize that the consortia, I'm going to be very blunt, the consortia has been very, very much in our corner with Montebello, and of course, they're helping reestablish our productivity and helping us in regards to understanding that my vision for Montebello is developing CTE and trying to get away from as much as, not as much as the EDSL and our high school diploma. We still offer that, don't get me wrong, but we're trying to reestablish a new vision. And I know that that's been the vision of the state. So I've been trying to implement that and trying to still speak on behalf of Montebello in regards to trying to still instill those classes.
So I believe I was the second on this, so I would accept Mr. Stark's friendly amendment and move that we approve this with items 1, 3, and 4, and we change item 2 to simply state enrollment and attendance data as determined by Montebello.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to the next item on the agenda. This is an item that has been carried forward from previous meetings. Item 6.3, equitable and sustainable AEDG funding formula for level K-12 adult and LACCD members. And then the action item is more of a request from the four persons team to contract with a subject matter expert or a firm to advise and guide the process of the development of the funding formula. The four persons team and I feel strongly that we do not necessarily have all the knowledge that is required to advance this type of proposal. It's also a very high stake type of proposal that, you know, will have a serious impact on everyone's organization within the consortium. And so for that reason, we would like to have some assistance in terms of expertise. Can I have an item to move can I have a motion to approve, please, and a second, and then we can start discussion.
Motion to move.
I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion.
So I have a question and then a suggestion. The question is, have you talked about who the subject matter expert or firms might be? Do you have any?
No, we have not.
Okay. And so, I always think about not inventing the wheel whenever possible, and I would hope that the scope of this work would include a survey of what other consortia are doing, either within the state or outside of our state, to give us have a starting point, so we have a point of reference. And I also would like this board to have approval over whoever the subject matter expert and or firm is, before moving forward, so we can consider that entity and we know who we're working with.
Yeah, I see a friendly amendment coming. It's like I feel like when I took that psychology class in college, a little knowledge is dangerous. You're learning Robert's rules. Oh, I'm going to make an amendment. So this is really exciting. I'm sure it's very exciting to the audience as well. Very proud of the board, by the way. I think it's been a great meeting. So one thing I would say is just kind of philosophically, I kind of feel like we have the expertise within our districts, potentially. So I wouldn't necessarily advise going outside right away. Maybe it would be, I do agree that, we'd want to look at maybe getting some, identifying those resources. But I think having a subject matter expert group that's, represented, including our labor partners, I think for sure would be maybe a place to start instead of going to an outside firm.
Any additional comments?
Is the issue or the concern that we as the executive board ask the point person's team and Lancy to work on something they feel is so sensitive an issue that is that what it is? Why
do
you want to bring somebody else on?
Well, before Lancy tries to answer that, let me say that I think we would be better served at this point to do some research, look at some models amongst ourselves, chat about those models, see if the expertise that Mr. Stark talked about within our bodies and also with our partners, labor partners and others, if we could kind of come to this agreement by ourselves with research. So I would prefer that we direct staff to do some research, bring the topic, share some information, bring the topic back to us with a little bit more information, and then we could then make a decision as to how we want to move forward on this. But we do recognize that action needs to be taken soon as we start getting into our... Well, actually, what is our deadline for this? Our plans have been extended. Is that not correct?
Yes, they have. So the current three-year plan is being extended for one more year, right.
1819,
exactly. And the next three-year plan is due 19.
Right. So we have a little bit of time to further consider this, I guess, in that regard. So that would be my suggestion that maybe we withdraw this motion. And then direct staff to do a little bit of research in terms of what existing formulas might be out there, and then have further discussion about that.
Agreed. I think there's consensus, right?
Okay, so there's consensus.
There's consensus. Can I ask for clarification? This research would include communicating with other consortia.
Yes. Yeah. It would be trying to find out what exists out there, and even to whatever extent there may be other models in other states that for adult education funding that we might want to take a look at as well that might have some bearing on what we want to do here.
Very well, thank you.
So we withdraw the motion, and we've given some direction to staff that can be reflected in the minutes and what have you.
Very well. Great. All right, the next item on the agenda is... a recommendation from the Point Personal Scheme and the project director to the institute chair of the board to help drive the elements of the agenda for the Lyric Open Meetings. Please note that we have used two different terms. We use chair, board chair, and on the action item, we actually use president, so it should be board chair all throughout.
I've not discussed this with Mr. Irasati, but I would like to nominate Emilio Irasati as our board chair.
Second.
Third, fourth, and fifth.
Oh. I'm very honored by that. unfortunately have recently heard some family health issues, and as a result of that, it's having to have me take time away on weekends. And so, at this time, I can't accept that thing.
So, Ms.
How do you say it again?
What's that?
Well, I got to do it before you do.
Oh, go ahead. No.
I nominate Bob Miller.
Okay. So I was going to nominate you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I second that.
Yeah. As much as I'd like to do it, I've got lots of obligations, and I will do it if I have to, because I have great respect and regard for what we're trying to do up here. But I think it's more appropriate for one of our K-12 folks to take the helm at this point in terms of getting started. Obviously, you won't be able to shut me up anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But not that you would do that, but that's a bad joke. I apologize. But I would nominate you.
Second.
Okay. Can we then call a vote on the nomination of Ms. Veronica Montes for board chair of there?
Are you sure we can't make it president? Just for fun.
Friendly amendment.
Madam President.
Doesn't matter to me.
I'm joking.
Yeah, whatever works. Chair of our executive committee. Yeah.
All right, so if I may call a vote, all in favor?
Aye.
So going back to our...
Lansley will pray for you.
Thank you. I think I will hold you to it.
Yeah, nice writing policy.
Very good Christmas in
public.
Anyway, so moving right along, then I would ask for the board to approve the action item now that we have an elected board chair. Do I have a
motion? Motion to move.
I'm sorry, what are we moving? Missed it.
Second. Okay.
Just go with it.
Any discussion? Excellent. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. And so moved.
Well, for 1 year.
That brings us to...
So her term would be April... from today,
That's a good point. Why don't we think about from today, but going forward, the terms would be July 1 through June 30 to coincide with our academic and fiscal calendars, our fiscal calendars, I should say. So in this case, it would be the first go-around would be from whatever today's date is, March 17th, through June 30, 2019. So from March 16th, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. And then from then on out, we would have selected 1 year terms. Which would be based on the our fiscal years of July 1 through June 30th.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Most chairs have a vice chair in the event that the chair falls ill or is incapacitated. Do we want to possibly consider that?
I think that as much structure as we can implement would be tremendously helpful. Yes.
Not with that help, I mean, but okay.
May I nominate you for that, for the vice chair position?
You're not going to be sick? Yes.
Second.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So then Mr. Emilio Uriosky becomes our vice chair. Same terms as the chair, correct?
And, you know, now that I think about this, maybe we should use the term president, because, you know, no, but I'm serious. In our, you know, in our worlds, there are president of the board, vice president of the board, etc. So maybe it's a better term for us to use the same vernacular. Or we could use the term Royal Highness. It's up to you.
That works too.
So is that, does that have to change given that the word chair was used here?
Under the action item, it happens to read elect a board president. So I think there was somebody was thinking that, and they just, on the recommendation, but the action item itself says elect a board president. So I think we're okay.
Okay, wonderful. Any additional discussion on this item? Okay, so that brings us over to the announcements section, and we do not have any announcements. The next letter open meeting will be held on April 20th, 2018, location to be determined. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting, please?
It should be the president.
I'm kidding. I'm going to read my Robert's Rules.
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Very good. Thank nice you. Job.
Very good.
No problem. Right?
We need to get you a gavel. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was. We got to get you a gavel.
That'll be good.